Well, if you're happy to be in the house of the Lord today, how about a great big amen to let God and others know that you're glad to be here. Ready? Amen. Amen. And let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. I always love to do scriptural things in Psalm 150, verse 6. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. And I know we've been there a lot that last month, but it's got a lot of good things in there from the book of Exodus for us to look at and to apply to our lives what God has to say to us. For example, I don't know if you've ever been facing a situation like this, but when you felt that you were just boxed in and had no way out. I mean, you're coming to the end of the month and you've already come to the end of your money. We're all familiar with those situations. The rent or the mortgage is due, and so is the electric bill. And sometimes there just seems like there's no way out. Or perhaps maybe you've applied for four different jobs and you've been rejected by all of them. And sometimes you wonder, is there any way just to get back in the job market where I want to do a job that I'm interested in? Well, if you've ever been in any of those things, you're in what we call a predicament. And it's amazing what we call a predicament. We have all kinds of words for it. You can call it up the creek without a paddle. Some people call it in a jam. Some people call it between a rock and a hard place. But it appears sometimes no matter what you do or what path you take or which decision you make, you're just doomed one way or the other. And so what we like to call is a predicament. And it can either be related to our job, our marriage, or something that you may be dealing with personally, that you may be in a predicament. But what happens is you're in a tight place and you see that there's no way out, and that's called a real predicament. A real predicament is a good example of that is when you have maybe an attorney who specializes in suing doctors for malpractice, and he's kind of well known for that, but all of a sudden he finds himself in need of a major surgery. Now, that's what you call a real predicament. And you can find your backs up against the wall in a number of ways like that. Sometimes we get into such a jam that there just doesn't seem to be a whole lot of options sometimes where we can get out of that. And here's also sometimes what we do is we're tempted to think that just because I have a special connection to God, that I'm a believer, that I'm a child of the King, that we're immune for some of those circumstances. And that's just not right. That's not the case. But it was the case this morning with Moses and the children of Israel, because they were in a predicament. They're bewildered. Let's read our passage this morning. Go with me to Exodus chapter 14. You'll look at verse 3. It says, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land in the wilderness. It is closed to men." In other words, they don't have any place to run. And Pharaoh sees that now, and he's happy about that. Go skip down to verse 9. "So the Egyptians pursued them and all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and overtook them by camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth and before Baal-Zephon." And then go to verse 13. "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. For he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward.' And when he did that, they did, and the sea parted for him." And I want to preach to you today a few moments on what to do when you're out of options, or maybe when you're up against a wall. And the Bible said in our passage today that they were overtaken. What do you do when you're overtaken, whenever you're fighting your battles? What do you do? You're hemmed in and you don't have any more options. You seem like you're overtaken, but yet you know you're not forsaken because God is watching you. You're outnumbered. You're out of options. What do you do? An option is defined as something that is chosen, an alternative, a different way to the same destination. And as a society, we're that way. We're an option-oriented society. We need and we want options. I know I do. If we're going to buy a car, if you're going to buy a car, you want to know the options, what that car has. Does it have power windows? Does it have power this, power that? If you're buying medical insurance, or if you're buying insurance of any kind, we want to find out the options that that has in there of what is covered and what I'm able to do. And if we have a medical problem, the first question we ask the doctor is, what do I do about it? Can this be done by taking a prescription of medicine, or do I need to treat it with surgery? I know I drive Kisha crazy most of the time, Laren too when she's with us. When they want to do something or when they want to go out to eat somewhere, I give them many, many options. Because I want us to be happy when we go out to eat. I don't want us to go to a restaurant and say, man, I wish we would have gone somewhere else. So I give them plenty of options. Matter of fact, I think that's what Kisha will put on my tombstone someday. She'll, here lies Eric, who is finally out of options. But we all like options. What are my options here? We all want options. And then there's the word opportunity. Opportunity means when the circumstances are favorable for a purpose to be accomplished. An opportunity means that it's a good chance to advance yourself or a good moment to accomplish something that may have come your way. And what we need to understand is that with God, when you run out of human options, you always have a divine opportunity. An opportunity for circumstances that are favorable for a purpose to be accomplished. When you have no options, then that can become your divine opportunity. And sometimes you may run out of options, but you never will run out of opportunities with God. Just as Israel, when they had come out of Egypt, when they were headed to the promised land, and God had ordained for them to go to the promised land. And then they encounter this place where they're outnumbered and out of options and out of alternatives. And that's what our enemy likes. Our enemy, Satan, he delights in shutting down every option in our life so that we'll concede or we compromise or we even quit sometimes and give up. He likes that. But when you run out of options in any area of your life, what it does is it presents you with an opportunity. And you may have run out of options in your decision or something that you've come up against, but it's an opportunity for you to experience God like you've never experienced Him before. Somewhere in that circumstance is a hidden opportunity to see God's power be able to be revealed in your life. And I believe I'm preaching to people here today who are like Moses. You feel like Moses. You feel like the children of Israel did, must have felt. The Bible said that they had come to the Red Sea, and it was right in front of them, and they have a mountain on the left, they have a mountain on the right, and they turn around, and there's nothing but desert. And then other than just the desert they see Pharaoh's chariots and his army approaching on him. He's caught up to them. And they were advancing, and they came, and the Bible says in our passage that they overtook them. And it's in that moment when you have no options. You may not have any options, but yet what you do have is a divine opportunity. And it's in those moments when you can't go forward with any of your resources anymore. You can't go here, you can't go there. You've run out of options. The doctors can't do anything for you. The banker can't help you anymore. The lawyer can't do anything on your case. And your friends, they can't help you. And it's in those moments that you're being forced to realize that it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And that's when you have an opportunity to pray and seek Him. And that's when you have an opportunity to go to this book to find answers again and let God speak to you. An opportunity for you to seek the face of God when you don't have any visible options left before you. There's always a divine opportunity. I mean, even the Bible says to us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, come boldly before the throne of grace in your time of trouble that you might be able to obtain help. God implores that of us. He wants us to seek Him. Here's a quick fact for you. Best way to get out of quicksand if you're ankle deep or even knee deep is to slowly sit down. Sounds odd. But with quicksand and the same things in life, when you feel desperate, when you feel like you're out of options, you start to panic and you start to sink more. And I know this sounds crazy in the face of all common sense, but it's true. The same in quicksand. You'll sink if you start to wiggle around and start flailing around in quicksand, you'll start to sink more. But you'll float if you lay flat on your back. And in reality, life's a lot like the quicksand. It's rarely more than a few feet deep on those obstacles we face, making it more of a messy nuisance more than a life-threatening hazard. And what happens is exhaustion ends up becoming our biggest risk in fighting quicksand, considering the amount of energy it tries to take for you to pull your legs out of those things. And it's just waterlogged soil, but it just feels like it's suckers, just suction, just pulling you down. And so the takeaway there is just don't expend unnecessary energy. But that's exactly what we do when we fight against what's currently happening to us. And we don't trust the process to unfold as it should. We must remember to trust the process. When we surrender to our situation, we're then able to relax and then lay peacefully afloat amidst all the circumstances if we place it in God's hands. Now again, when we surrender, it doesn't mean that you don't do anything. Rather, it just simply means we focus on the areas of the problem that we're able to get accomplished or done, and then move to a place of peacefulness from God, rather than just to use up our energy with a fearful tantrum. Because that's what it is, a tantrum. A tantrum happens when we don't like what's happening to us. You don't believe me? Ask any child. Go back there in the nursery and hang out a while. You'll hear some tantrums. And fear is when we start to think, and what's even worse is when we start to believe the worst about our circumstances. Because your mind is a powerful, powerful engine. And it can come up with some pretty, pretty crazy scenarios. But these things, if you believe your mind so many things, all these situations and scenarios it comes up with, it'll only add to that sinking feeling that you have and worsen the situation. And it applies true in life. There's a story of two monks who were proceeding by journey on foot to a distant village. And at one point they crossed over this bridge, but the bridge was old and it broke and both of them fell into the river. And the first monk, he was frightened, and he was finding himself being swept away by the swollen river, and he starts flailing about, and he ends up drowning. But the second monk, what he did is he accepted his circumstances, and he watched himself being carried down that same path through those turbulent waters, and not knowing when or if he would able to get to shore. So what he realized is he started removing his heavy garments that were about him that were becoming waterlogged and weighing him down as he proceeded down the river, making his way along the shoreline as the river was taking him at a comfortable pace. And all the while he was looking at the scenery on the shore as the river was taking him down. And after a time, the river took him to a point to where the river finally slowed. And all of a sudden, the monk found himself on a sandbar where he was able to stand at the bend in the river that was adjacent to another village. And so, being grateful for his adventure and his delivery, he goes to the village to find out how he can get back on course to go to where he was going, toward his destination. But to his great delight, he found out that the river had actually delivered him to the village to where he was going to. And so sometimes when you have too many options in your life, you don't think you need any divine opportunities. And in our passage this morning, God led Israel into a trap. Not to trap Israel, but to trap Pharaoh and his army. And when God's going to do something powerful in your life, The opportunity will work for you, although it may not look like it at the moment. Many of you are frustrated because you feel like you don't have any options left. You turn to the left, you turn to the right, there's just nothing there. Nothing's opening up. Nothing's coming available. You thought it would happen, but it's just not happening the way that you would envision it. But when you have options, that means you are in control. But when you run out of options, then God can be in control. And when you reach to a, when you reach a point to where you're being overtaken by the enemy, and it feels that you've been forsaken, that God has forgotten about you, and why is he letting me go through this? Is he getting a cheap thrill up there or what? That's when we need to realize that we have not been forsaken by our God. But instead, God is about to show himself strong on your behalf. In our passage, Pharaoh overtook the Israelites by the Red Sea. And in this moment, when they have to turn to the Lord, and it's in this moment when you get desperate, and you say, God, I've got to have a miracle here. I've got to have a divine opportunity. That's what happened to the man in the book of Mark chapter 2 when Jesus was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And the Bible said that the place was so full that no one could get in. These four men brought a sick man on a bed trying to get in. They tried to go to the back door. It was packed. They tried to go through a window. It was packed. And forget about coming through the front door. They couldn't even fathom getting in that way. It was so packed. So what did they do? What did they do next? They tore the roof off. Because sometimes when you understand you don't have any options, then that's when you do have a divine opportunity. And that means something. And that means that that opportunity is an opportunity to seek God. And sometimes when you take advantage of that divine opportunity that he gives you in your life, sometimes you're going to look foolish. Sometimes you're going to look a little crazy. And I'm sure these guys did when they're tearing that roof up off there. Sometimes you've got to get crazy and let somebody lay a hand on you to pray for you. Sometimes you got to look a little crazy and letting people smear some oil on you to pray over you. Isn't that crazy? It looks crazy when sometimes our mind just doesn't fathom that. Just smear stuff on me and pray. Why? Sometimes in order to take advantage of an opportunity, you have to take a risk. You have to break protocol and what is normal in your way of thinking. And you have to say, God, I am desperate for you. I'm so desperate for you. And it's in those times when you will get on your knees before your holy God. And you can't look to the left. And you can't look to the right. And you don't have anybody else to look to but to God. And God says, when you get to that point and you're on your knees praying to him, he says, that's what I've been waiting for, is for you to look up to me and to seek me in those situations. You see, when you reach that point to where you're outnumbered and you're out of options and you're out of opportunities, that's when you decide then to step into this new dimension where God can lead you now, because now you're willing to be led. All of your resources, all of your options have run out. Now you're willing to say, okay, God, I give up. Please do with me what you want, because you don't have any more options and he's got you to that point. Nobody likes to get to the place where you can't fix it or I can't fix it, where you don't have any options. Nobody likes that, because it's uncomfortable. And Moses, he was told by God to tell the people to go forward. What do you mean, go forward? Don't you see there's a Red Sea before us? There's mountains on this side, mountains on that side, and you're telling me to go forward, and you got these Egyptians who finally caught up with us wanting to slaughter us. It's an impossibility. How can I do that? And God was saying if you want an answer, challenge the obstacle that's before you. If you want an answer, then go forward. Don't let the obvious that you see in front of you overwhelm you. But move forward and begin to attack your problem. Walk into this thing with faith. Walk into that addiction. Walk into this thing coming and saying, I'm going to fight against this thing. Walk into that situation that seems impossible and just by faith say, here I come. And I'm not afraid this time. And I'm not fearful because I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. I had a moment to where it's like, I got to get out of this thing. Stir up my faith. I want to walk by faith and not by sight. You take a chance and you take a risk, and yes, you're even going to look foolish at times when you do that. And people aren't going to understand you. And I'm sure they thought Moses was crazy, holding a stick over the ocean. But it's at that time and in that moment when Moses held a rod out over the sea, and when he did, it parted, and the Israelites were able to walk across it on dry land. But it wasn't until all of their options were gone that God turned it into a divine opportunity. And when we start thinking things like, oh, there's no way out of this. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't fix it this time. There's no escape. And then we make funny statements like, you know, it's so bad that all we've got left is God. As though God couldn't handle your little problem. God, who is the one who spoke the world into existence, the one who raised the dead, and the one who walks on the sea, and the one who's right here in this building with us this morning. I'm here to declare to you that he's a way maker, and he's a mountain mover, and he's a miracle worker. He's a light in the shining darkness, and nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. If you believe that, how about an amen on that one? Amen. Once you stop looking around, you'll start looking upward more. And it's only when we look upward we realize that looking around hasn't worked. There's no escape. Of course we want to escape. Who wouldn't? But God instead wants us to experience him in our life. We want to get out of it, but God wants us to go through with it. And when you reach that option or that point in your life where you're out of options, you just turn to God. You want to know why many people aren't living for God? It's because they have too many options. The world gives you lots of options. But Jesus, he's not a man of options. Jesus doesn't give us a bunch of options. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. I'm not giving you a roadmap. I'm not giving you a brochure or what the trip's going to look like with me and what you're going to see along the way, but follow me. You go with me wherever I go. If I take you through this valley, then walk through the valley with me and praise me. If I take you to the fiery furnace or through the lion's den, just trust me. And even if I take you up to a high mountaintop where things are clear and beautiful, praise me there too. But your job is just to follow me. Your job is just to believe in me, keep believing in me, and trusting me with what I'm going to do in your life. And I'm telling you, there's a miracle worker in this place today. And his name is Jesus. But when you have too many options, you don't turn to the Lord. We don't have a lot of people here that ask for the elders of the church to come and pray for them because they have too many options. They have too many options. This year, in the year 2020, there'll be some of you here that will run out of options. Why? Because somebody's been praying. Somebody's been fasting. The party's going to dry up. The fund's going to run out. And you're going to get a place of desperation. But praise God, you're going to make the greatest discovery that you've ever made in your life. And that is this. That Jesus came to give us life. And to give us life abundantly. That you normally would have never found. Because you had too many options. Most of us here today wouldn't be here if we wouldn't have run out of options. And we serve the one now who today has set us free. And has given us abundant life. Many people have tried this. A lot of people have tried that. But I'm here to proclaim to you that Jesus is the answer. Abraham Lincoln himself, he said that I've been driven to my knees by the overwhelming sense that I have nowhere else to go but to God. And I come to you saying, move over, Mr. Lincoln. I've been driven to my knees a lot of times, and there's some things I don't have the answer for either. And I don't have any more options, and all I can do is look up to God. But that's when the miracle happens, when you do that, at that point. That's when you turn it, whatever it is in your life, or whatever that obstacle is in your life, into an opportunity to seek His face. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat and his army were completely invaded. And Israel was being invaded by three confederated armies. Three armies got together to destroy Israel and Jehoshaphat. And the Bible said that God let them be surrounded. And they were so terrified and they were so desperate. And he makes this confession in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. That Jehoshaphat says, "We have no power, we have no might against this multitude that is coming against us." In other words, he's saying, "We don't have any options, God. We're outnumbered. We're out-resourced. We're overtaken. And we know you're God Jehovah, so we know we're not forsaken." And then he says, goes on to say, "Nor do we know what to do." You ever been there? In that place in your life where you don't know what to do next? I'm sure we have. Where you can't turn this way, you can't turn that way, you can't look back. I don't know what to do. But then here comes an opportunity out of nowhere. And Jehoshaphat says, "But our eyes," there it is. He says, "But our eyes are upon you, O Father." Our eyes are upon you, God. God's not sitting there looking at you saying, "You just need to try harder. Come on. Or just work it out. It'll all work for the good." Or what's worse, God doesn't look down in our circumstances saying, "Hey, just suck it up, buttercup. Life's rough." No, he said, "Turn your eyes upon me. Just get your eyes fixed upon me because I can do it. When you can't do it, I can fix it. When you can't fix it, I can. I can deliver you, when you, instead of you trying to deliver yourself, but put your eyes on me." And when Jehoshaphat got that message, the Bible said they began to fast and pray for 3 days. Nobody ate. They didn't even feed their animals, it says. Poor little Rover didn't get his meal. Poor little kitty cat didn't get anything to eat. Nobody got anything to eat, including the animals, for 3 days. And the Bible says that God put the singers up there on the front line and started singing something like, "Oh God, our merciful God, your mercy endures forever. You're a good God," much like the songs we sing this morning. And when they did, God sent angelic forces into the enemy's camp and destroyed all of them. And the children of Israel saw a great victory. But it did not happen until Jehoshaphat was out of options. What you can't beat, God can beat. And when you run out of options, you'll find that it's an opportunity for God to show Himself strong in your life. I mean, we all sing this song that we're familiar with when we grow up as children. "Jesus loves me, for the Bible says so." But we still don't get it when we come to the part in that song when it says, "They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me." I may not have any more options left. You may not have any more options left. But watch this. You've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you. And when you run out of stuff here and there and everywhere, and that's when you've got to turn into here, your heart, and find that the greater one is more powerful than any obstacle that you may encounter out there before you. And sometimes we really don't look inside of here and stir it up until things get really desperate out there. I thought about the woman in Mark chapter 5 where she had the issue of blood for 12 long years. That would just be horrible. And the scripture said that she'd gone to many physicians and she wasn't better. Matter of fact, they couldn't help her and she actually grew worse. And I would say that this would probably be called running out of options. Doctor after doctor in the situation after situation, and it still begins to grow worse. But then comes this opportunity. She hears about Jesus. She comes and wiggles her way through the crowd and is able just to touch the hem of his garment as he walks by. Enough to where Jesus stops and notices, "Who touched me?" And to make a long story short, the Bible said that virtue flowed out of Jesus and healed her, and her blood was dried up at that very moment. But it didn't happen as long as she had other options. 12 years after this, it happened until she came to a point of desperation in her life and looked for that divine opportunity. And I'm trying to get you to understand this morning that miracles can happen when we pray faithfully as Prayer of Faith Church. Look in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. The Bible said that he spent all of his money that he had. So he goes to the father and he says, "Give me my inheritance." And the father gives him the inheritance. And he goes out and spends it all, loses all of his money, loses all of his friends. And then he ends up in the pig pen and he's in the hog pen eating from it and along with the swine. And then boom, something hits him. And he says, "I'm out of options. But in my father's house, there's bread to spare. There's leftovers that I could eat even." He said, finally says, "I'm out of here. I'm going to rise." And so he does. When did he get that miracle? When he realized he was out of options. "I don't have any friends. I don't have any money. I don't have any parties to go to. I don't have anything but living in this piggy lifestyle that I've got. It's filthy in here. I can't get out. I'm stuck here eating with the pigs. But I'm going to get out. I'm going to have one of those moments to where I will arise and I will start moving out." And I'll have that moment of, and we all have to have that moment of clarity in our lives when it just hits us and says, "What am I doing?" I want to give you one more in closing as the band comes to the stage this morning to close. I thought about Samson. I thought about how he had his eyes plucked out of his head. He's shaved, he's blinded, and he's bound in chains. But something happens when they bring him to the temple of Dagon. Something happened. A little boy's leading him there to the temple of Dagon where they can laugh and make fun and sport of him. And he asks the little boy, he says, can you put my hands on these pillars so I can kind of steady myself? I'm blind, I can't see too well. And when he put his hands on the pillars of the temple, the Bible said that the power from another world hit him. And he said, God, just please remember me one more time. I'm desperate. And he pushed those pillars. And the scripture said when he did, he destroyed more in his death, more enemies in his death than when he was alive. Think about that. He destroyed more in that one moment when he had no options at all than when he had all the options in the world. Because what you face when you run out of options is a divine opportunity. And some of you have hit, it seems, as low as you can go, and you're trying to change and you want to change, and you've tried this and you've tried that and you just can't seem to change. But here's the answer: is Jesus. Plain and simple. Jesus is the answer. If you need provision, if you need financial mountains to move in your life or your family, then look to Jesus. And I know hearing that from you this morning may sound like a cop-out. Oh, he just says, seek Jesus. But let's face it, folks. You can borrow money from different sources and different places and different friends and different family members until Jesus comes back. And you can bail yourself out for so long, as long as you have resources and as long as you have those options. But what happens when you run out of those options? That's when you say, God, I need your help, and get desperate. And then move forward with what God's leading you to do when you don't have the answer. He says, I want you to confront the obstacle. And so when you're walking through your little prayer tunnel, and you begin to see it like the children of Israel saw it, and you step off that bank into that river, or that the Red Sea, whatever's before you, you step off into that, and saying, God, I don't have any options left. And I'm going to do this because I feel that's what you're leading me to do. So I'm moving toward it. I'm not running from it, but instead, I'm confronting it. I'm facing the problem. I'm facing it with you, and I'm focusing on you, and my eyes are on you. And so some of you may need a miracle in your life, in your family, in your home, maybe even at your job. I don't know. But realize that the God who parted the sea is standing beside you whenever you run out of options. There's no lasting defeat for the children of God, because he always gives us an opportunity of allowing him to lead us, of allowing him to teach us and building our faith. Nothing shall be impossible with God when you're out of options. Now this morning, stand to your feet all over the room. And when we sing, lift your hands toward heaven and open up your mouth. Begin to fill this room full of praise. And I want us to worship him and begin to praise him. And I don't want you just to let our singers do all the singing, as beautiful voices as they have. But it's time to fill the room with praise like Jehoshaphat's did, like Jehoshaphat's army did, and put the praise there. And let God fight our battles. And God's saying the same thing to you as he told Moses, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord amidst your obstacles when you're out of options. Watch me fight your battle. Watch me move your mountains. He's the miracle worker. He's the way maker. He's our loving God. And so this morning as we sing, just lift up your hands and begin to sing with a voice that you have a heart with, a voice to your face as you face toward God, and a voice to our loving God. This morning, let's sing. This morning, if you're sick or not feeling well, just come up here to the front. If you've been battling stuffiness, sinuses, whatever it is, just come up to the front. Because I'm along here with you.
Amen.
I'm battling those too.
Amen.
Brothers out there that are feeling great, just lift your arms out and support. And pray for us. And pray for Liz. Those others that are just fighting battles of snot, whatever it is that's bothering them. Stuffiness, congestion. Just pray that it would pass quickly. Father, we come to you this morning and we lift our hands to you in praise, and we seek healing. We seek healing from not only just sinuses and congestion and colds and flu-like symptoms, but other stuff, deeper issues that our family are going through. And we lift up and ask for healing upon us. Heal us, Father. Oh, you are the great physician. Ease our pain. And we cry out to you as your children, as the children of Israel do. And we cry and ask for a miracle. We ask for healing. And we ask to be restored healthy. We ask this in your name, Jesus. We love you and praise you. And the church said, amen. God bless you all. Have a great week this week.